In the tomb.
John writes, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them,
'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him.'"
The light of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Do we have the service on the screen? Okay. Yeah.
So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead, then the disciples went back to their homes. The light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Were you there? From the
stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them,
"They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him."
Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic,
"Rabboni,"
which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples,
"I have seen the Lord."
Gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. Gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches, the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, she told us where she'd been. She said, "I've moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and his body isn't there." So we both ran toward the garden. John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary had said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him is more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I didn't know. John believed a miracle, and I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, as I'd seen them crucify him. Then I watched him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything that I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the room was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadow from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I just fell down on my knees and I clung to him and cried. And as he raised me to my feet, and I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from them like starlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every doubt I ever had just melted into peace. Please stand. He's alive. Say it with me. He's alive. He's alive. Alive. He's alive. Alive. He's alive. Our open wide. He's alive. 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 given. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is
not there.
He
is risen just as he said.
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Almighty God, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. We humbly pray that we may live before you in righteousness and purity forever. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated now for our scripture readings for today.
From the 19th chapter of Job, beginning at the 23rd verse, we hear this profession of faith. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1, we hear the epistle. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach. And so you believed. This too is the word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on this incredible day of the church here. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
How important is that really to you? We say those words with hopefully some excitement, and it sounds pretty exciting here this morning. But deep within your heart, and I look deep within my heart, how precious are those words really to you? The reality of that confession. And what an early confession within the church. And so Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and by the way, I would encourage everyone today to, in the busyness of all the family traditions, meals, and everything that'll be going on later today, that you can find a quiet moment and just read through the entire chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. An incredible resurrection chapter. But we heard those words read as Gary read them a moment ago. Verses 3 through 4 of this text. Paul writes, God inspired these words. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Boy, that should get our attention, shouldn't it? I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what else is really necessary for us to know as God's people? This is of first importance to God as he reveals this incredible event to the church then, as the Lord was physically, visibly walking on the face of the earth, and to the church now, as Jesus speaks of us to the doubting Thomas. Thomas, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe who have not seen me. And here we are. But whether we were those that saw the Lord after he rose from the dead, or whether we're those who through faith see the Lord as we do now, as we gather here this morning, we are one and the same. We are the body of Christ. And God comes to you and me and he announces to us, this is of first importance. This is the real deal. Everything about our faith hinges upon, stands upon these simple statements. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scriptures. Well, that's what's first in God's mind. But the question for us this morning is, what is of first importance to you? And I want you to be honest with yourself as I try to be honest with myself. Because in this very busy world in which we live, we can have all kinds of distractions, can't we? We can have all kinds of things or people that would attempt to step in and fill that position in our lives of first importance. What are you most vulnerable to? What likes to try and weasel its way into your heart and take that top position within your life? And whatever that may be, how does it stand up with these words? For instance, if whatever that entity may be in your life, as I think of those that creep into my life, where is that going to be for you if trouble comes? Where is that going to be for you when you're at that point of facing your own death upon this earth? Why do you come to worship this morning? You must have wanted to be here. It's pretty early, right? By the way, it's been suggested to the elders we should have worship just at 6 o'clock every Sunday. What do you think? A few are nodding yes. But seriously, why are you here today? Is it because it's a great tradition? I mean, within Lutheran circles and many other church bodies, yeah, this is a big hoopla day, right? It's sunrise service, and boy, some even go to Red Rocks, and there's some pretty incredible productions of worship services in this nation and throughout the world. But why do we come? Is it a tradition? Is that mainly the reason? Or is it maybe to be entertained? Boy, there's some great singing. We've already heard it this morning. Or maybe it's for the Easter egg hunts or the concerts or the breakfasts that follow. There's all kinds of traditions. Why do you come to worship this morning? What is of first importance in your life? Because it's very easy as sinners that we can just go through the actions, right? Hey, it's Easter sunrise. We always go to that one. We need to be there. Well, it takes on a whole different meaning in the midst of great trouble, in the midst of death. In our town of Windsor, where Lindy and I live this past week, you may have heard the news of a horrifying death, two deaths. Two construction workers are working in a trench. The trench is about 15 feet deep, and the trench caves in on them. And you can imagine the frantic movements that are being made in order to try and rescue these people. They're right there, 15 feet down, but they're right here. We've got to dig them out, but they can't use equipment because they could crush them. And so they're frantically digging with shovels. They're calling emergency people that are experts in these kinds of things. And there is a huge intensity. And why such an intensity? Because there's a couple people still alive 15 feet down in this trench, and we can't get to them. But if we could, we could save their lives. And I think the most horrifying thing to me was, one was a 40-year-old gentleman, another 20-some years old, and I don't know which one, but one of them could actually communicate and could be heard. And his family was called in immediately. Can you imagine standing at the edge of that trench, caved in, your child is buried there and communicating with you? And at that point, everyone knew that he wasn't going to survive. Now, I want you to think about whatever tries to creep into your life of being of first importance. What will that do for you at that moment? I want parents to think about that with your kids. The busyness of life, and boy, we can be so involved in so many things, to it can become to a point where, oh yeah, that first important thing, that's kind of a on the shelf. Well, God will grab it when we need it. No, I pray that our parents, grandparents, that with these kids that God has entrusted to us, that we would hone into them daily what is of first importance. That they may know Jesus as we are blessed to know Jesus. That they may know the joy of the empty tomb. That they may know the joy that Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Yes, that is of first importance. This is the real deal. This is the security of everlasting life. And yet, how often is it just an Easter Sunday event in a lot of families? Well, it's good for us because today is always a reality check for us, really, to bring back that question, what is of first importance in my life? And why is Jesus' resurrection such a big deal anyway? Well, did you hear these words? Christ died for our sins. If we're in that trench, buried, and we're dying, and we don't know Jesus, we're going to spend eternity in hell. That's the bottom line. No ifs, ands, and buts. Apart from Jesus, we are lost and condemned sinners. It's why Jesus came, and it's why Paul, as God inspires this, is so excited to share that of first importance is that Christ died for our sins. He went to that cross. He literally died. And if you don't believe that, by the way, he was buried. Just to add a certainty, because the rumors were running around then, as I'm sure the rumors run around today, oh yeah, but he may have not really died. I'd love to have a Roman centurion standing here. Oh yeah, we'd let people hang on those crosses sometimes, and you know, they'd fool us, and they'd get away once in a while. Not happening. Romans, in what they did, executing by the cross, were masterminds. They were extremely good at what they did. And believe me, there would have been no question if somebody was dead. Christ died for our sins after he said, "It is finished," meaning this plan of salvation is complete. There's nothing left to do. God says, "I offer this to you, the world. I want you to have it. I lay it in your lap." Most of the world says, "Yeah, I don't need that. I don't even want that." God doesn't force it, but he does announce it of first importance. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and then the greatest news of all, he rose again. Why is that so significant? Well, Paul tells us, God tells us through Paul, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, meaning it's worthless. You are still in your sins. Everything hinges upon the resurrection. So then it's probably pretty important, isn't it, that we have some sense of certainty that Christ really did rise from the dead. And don't you love it how God has had a plan in place that couldn't be questioned either? You know, if Jesus would have maybe appeared to Mary, as we saw from the gospel reading this morning, and Mary was the only one that saw Jesus alive in the flesh, resurrected, glorified before he ascended into heaven, we might think, you know, Mary may have been a hallucinating. She just wanted to see Jesus so bad that in her mind she thought she saw him. But oh, isn't it wonderful? Jesus didn't immediately ascend into heaven. He stayed around for 40 days, and he appeared not only to individuals, but to groups. And Paul gives us testimony of that. He says he appeared to Peter, he appeared to the 12, and then I love it, he appeared to over 500 at the same time. And then Paul, I never really thought about this. I caught it this year. And at the time of Paul's writing, which was many years later when he wrote 1 Corinthians, and he said, most of those are still living. Now, if they had a dispute about really if this was true or not, and Paul is writing about these that were witnesses, I think they would have come forth and said, "Paul, you're nuts. We didn't see that." But there's no disputing. Wow, 500 at one time. Think that'd be a credible testimony in our day? By experience, I know that it is in many cases that we've observed. Appeared to Peter, the 12, over 500, to James, and then, of course, to Paul later on that road to Damascus. That's Paul's testimony. But then we read the Gospels, and there's the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He appears to the 12, well, the 11, up in the upper room a couple times, 2 weeks in a row, right? And then sends them off to Galilee. They're by the Sea of Galilee. This is my favorite scene, one of them in Scripture. And they're out there thinking, well, what do we do while we wait? I guess we're fishermen. We'll go fish. And they don't catch anything all night. And then this guy happens to show up on the shoreline and, "Hey, have you caught any fish?" "No. Well, throw the nets over on the other side. And Peter knew immediately who it was. And he throws the net, and the net is instantly full of fish. By the way, how many fish? Trivia this morning.
153.
Yes, 153. Somebody wins the prize. 153 fish. And the apostles instantly know, because when Jesus originally called them, he did the very same thing. But here's what I love about this scene. What's Jesus doing on the shoreline? He's frying a fish. He's cooking breakfast for his disciples. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Christ is risen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good that we have this day, because I think it's so easy for this day to fade in importance. But may we have the excitement that we have this morning every day of our lives. May we go out into the world by our attitude, by our approach to life, that others observing our lives, others hearing what we have to speak, others seeing how we approach life, that they may see without doubt within you and me these words that we have before us, that this is what's the real deal in our lives. Everything else is good. Sports, entertainment, careers, those are all wonderful and can be very godly things. But in the mix of all of those things, that it's clear and evident that the real deal is Christ died and was buried and that he rose again. That's the foundation of not only life on this earth, but for eternity. We go back to the trench. Imagine your strong Christian parents, and I don't know anything about the gentleman that passed away, but we're imagining now. And imagine it's your son in that trench. And yes, it's horrifying as Christian parents, but deep within your heart and mind, and all the frantic trying to save him, you know that if he doesn't make it, he's going to be in glory immediately. Remember the criminal on the cross? Jesus, remember me in your kingdom when you come. And what did Jesus say? Today, because he was going to die today, today you will be with me in paradise. Because God worked through faithful parents who brought their child up in that same faith. Everything else means nothing at that point, right? This is of first importance. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us so much that he has accomplished this great work, who loves us so much that he has called us into this incredible faith through baptism, through bringing to us his holy word, this Lord in Christ, the risen Savior, who loves you and me so much, that he's going to welcome us into glory for eternity one day. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And I invite the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith. And we make that in song.
Praise my all.
how honored and blessed we are to be able to, at this time, speak to the living Lord, our Lord and Savior, to our Almighty God in prayer. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that you bring to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the victory won. We thank you, Lord, that we as your people can truly live upon this earth because we need not fear death. In fact, we know that when our lives end upon this earth, our lives do not end, but they transition from life on earth to life in glory. Yes, our bodies will remain behind, but Lord, on the last day, even our body, as Job emphasizes, not someone else's, my own body, will rise from the dead and be glorified. Lord, our future is secure, and life as we know it, we can't even imagine what life is going to be like in glory with you. And so, Lord, may we keep that which you have proclaimed to be of first importance in our lives every moment of every day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here as we do to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the joy, the peace, and the hope that you fill our lives with. We thank you for the fellowship that we have among one another, that here, united in this incredible faith, a gift from you, that we can encourage and cheer each other on in this faith, even as we gather here this morning in this room. Lord, bless your church. But Lord, at the same time, our hearts go out to those who remain separated from you, those who turn their noses up at you, those who try to kick you out of every public office in this land, including schools. But Lord, you don't go away. You are here always. And Lord, we plead your intervention in the lives of those that remain separated from you. And Lord, use us as your ambassadors to reach them. Lord, we pray that this very day, here and throughout the world, many more will come to know the joy of salvation. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray especially this day for faithful Christians throughout the world who are living lives that are very persecuted and many dying as martyrs. Lord, especially be with these, your faithful servants, and enable them to remain strong in very difficult situations. Lord, we thank and praise you for the Voices of the Martyrs ministry, and especially for another ministry going on in the Middle East, sharing the gospel through parenting advice. It's incredible, Lord, how you get into the homes of other people and even those who worship other gods. And on the West Bank, Lord, through this ministry, Muslim mothers who cannot control their daughters hear of this Christian ministry and invite the leader in to share what she has to share. And of course, it's that of first importance. Imagine that, Lord. It's incredible. A Muslim group inviting a Christian in to speak. This is how you work, Lord, and we thank and praise you, and we ask your blessings upon this incredible ministry. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask your blessings upon all of the events here at Trinity today and the fellowship shared together, the meal that we share after this service, and meals shared with families and friends and neighbors. Lord, bless this day, and may you be glorified in it. Lord, we pray for all those who are going through very difficult times, and certainly all the names that are listed in the bulletin this morning. You know each and every one of these, your precious people, Lord. And Lord, Al Martin's name is listed in this bulletin as well. And Al passed away on Wednesday. Lord, we thank you for receiving him into glory, that he can share Easter in heaven this morning as we continue to worship on earth. Lord, we pray that you would be with his wife, Frances, that you would be with all of this family and uphold them and encourage them in their time of grief. We pray for those families in Windsor, Lord, as well, and many others that are only known to you. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we ask all of this in your most wonderful name as we ask your will to be done and as we ask you to guard our faith, that these things of first importance would be our life today and tomorrow and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated and we continue with the offering. And the peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
And let us share with one another God's peace this morning. Good morning, guys. God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you. Good morning.
Morning.
God's peace be with you guys. God's peace be with you, Francis and Esther. God's peace, Ashley. Look at Hannah this morning. And Daniel, too. God's peace be with you. God's peace be with you, Tom. Peace be with you, Dad. Good morning. How are you? Thank you. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in his word through the Apostle John that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, but if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in light of this truth, let us just take a moment for personal reflection and confession. And deeply conscious of our guilt because of our sin, I ask these questions to you as I ask them to myself. Do you confess the sins that you have committed in desire, thought, word, and deed? Are you truly sorry for them? Do you believe in Jesus Christ for forgiveness? And do you sincerely intend, with the help of God, to change your sinful life? And if so, answer yes.
Yes.
And I answer yes for myself as well. And upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the place and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ and his authority, I forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let us pray. Holy are you, Lord our God, holy are you, for by giving your Son into death for us, you have destroyed death, and by raising him again, have assured us of eternal life. Grant us sureness of faith in his innocent sacrifice and glorious victory, that we may receive the blessings of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation which comes to us in this sacrament. Sanctify us in body, soul, and mind, so that we may with hearts and hands and voices give you all honor, thanks, and praise throughout your holy church, now and forever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And as God's people, we are honored and blessed to know the prayer that our Lord has taught us and privileged to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen. Come, risen Lord, live in us, that we may live in you. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must be happy to receive.
And take and drink the true blood of your Lord Jesus, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. May the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until I hear from you. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
And I invite the congregation to stand. And at this juncture, I would like to remind everyone that we have a breakfast prepared downstairs. So we hope that all of you can stay and join us for a meal and fellowship time shared together. And also, I'd like to thank everyone who contributed to the whole tomb this year. That's just added so much visually to our worship experience through Lent and through Easter, and we're very appreciative of all those who had a part in that. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. We give thanks, Heavenly Father, that you have refreshed us with this sacrament of life and salvation. Keep us firm in Easter faith throughout the days of our pilgrimage until eternal light dawns upon us from above. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The light of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice.
And the Lord bless you and keep you strong in resurrection faith. The Lord make his face shine on you and graciously let Easter joy dawn within you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace here in time and in the courts of heaven forever. Ken, we need to pause for just a moment. Don't have that hymn. What hymn is it, Ken? 490. And which stanzas?
1, 2, and 5.
490, 1, 2, and 5. We can improvise on Easter.
Jesus lives the victories won. Death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives as great is done. From the grave will Christ recall me. Brighter scenes will this shall be my comfort.
God bless you, Wayne.
God bless you, too.
Thank you. Yes, it sure was.